Thank you, God, Lord, for your presence here, God. Truly with us, Lord. And Lord, we just honor your name, God. And everybody who's here tonight, dear God, Lord, I just pray, God, Lord, that we have ear to hear. Open our eyes with understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We weren't sure what we had to see the driveway, whether or not we were flooded out there. But we were okay, so. Just be careful, yeah, just be careful walking out there. Don't mind the tape on my glasses, I broke another pair, so. All the time, so. I buy these by the bulk. I have half a pair in one room and half another pair. So listen, tonight I just want to begin in our next couple weeks here, just share about life principles and just principles on life and how to establish things in the Lord. Amen? Foundational truths. And last week we talked about a foundation, how that you have to have a foundation. Amen? You have to have a foundation and establish it on the Lord. And we need to share, have come to an understanding of what that is. And really, what does that mean? Because we go through things in life and we have to begin to know why we're going through things and be able to get through things. Amen? So that's just real quick. I was thinking, learning to know, because I heard this song and I just hit me inside. It said, learning, or it says, I want to know you. No, I want to know you're near. No, is that what the song is called? I want to know you're near. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Now, it just hit me this way, that I want to know you wherever I am, in that moment that I'm at. And I just want to just stop to think about this. Like, that moment that I'm in, I need to know Him in that moment. So just think about some of the moments in your lives and the things that we go through. He's longing for us to know Him in those moments and to experience Him in those moments of our lives, whether they be good or whether they be bad. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, amen, He will be with us. He will be near. So He wants us to know Him in that valley. He wants us to experience Him in that valley. Not just in the green pastures. Come on. Not just by still waters. But in the valley. See, there's something about that. Knowing Him in moments in our lives. That we draw near to Him in moments. That I know Him in this moment. I know Him. I begin to experience Him. I begin to bring God in. Have God involved in that moment that I'm in my life. And as we do that, we begin to incorporate Him more than, if we really think about it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we leave God out of the different things in our lives. And so tonight, we got a new banner we're going to put up there. And what it's going to be about is about foundation. And I sent you a text. You don't have your phone, do you? I don't know if it's in here or not, but this is what I just really felt that God was really putting on our hearts. It says, building our lives, homes, and ministry upon Him who is our sure foundation. And everything, building everything upon Him who's our sure foundation. So I just want to touch base for a minute with this. And I believe that these are principles, these are things that we really need to have an understanding with, that some of you might have a grip on some of these things, and that's okay, but it's to refresh you to share with others and to have your foundation, having an understanding of where you're at to equip others. You know, the thing about it was Adam and Eve, they were lied to. They were painted a picture of God that there was nothing evil within them. See, I want you to hear this, understand this. There was nothing evil within them. But what happened is they opened themselves up to a lie, to a picture that was painted of God that wasn't true. Amen? It was a picture of God because He said that if you eat of this apple, you will become like God. And the lie was they already were. It was a lie saying that God doesn't want you to be like Him. And that's a lie. Because God created in His image and likeness that they would multiply what? His image and likeness. The enemy understood that. He knew that he had to disrupt them multiplying God's image because he was in trouble. If that image was multiplied, see, I want you to know that's the biggest attack on churches is for us to multiply his image and likeness in the earth. The enemy doesn't want that. He wants to disrupt it. So I want you to know, see, I want you to understand the things that you go through. Sometimes we look at these things and we automatically say, oh, I'm cursed or I'm going through this. And you know, we come out with these things and feel like God's not with us. That's a wrong image of God. That's a wrong image, especially us as children of God. If we feel like all the time that God's not for us, that God's against us, if we don't have an understanding of that God is with you, that God's desiring, that He created you, you are the greatest thing on His mind. You are, amen, you are. And every single day when you wake up and you see the stars, or at night when you go to bed, we see the stars and you see the moon and reflection of the sun and you see the things that are around us, the snow falling and the beauty of all these things. It's a reminder of who He is. Come on, amen. That He's got you on His mind. Even though it's cold. But you're on His mind. You are. Amen. Tell your neighbor you are. So, Proverbs 3. I just want to give you a couple of these. Is this all right? And this is the other thing I thought about too is how did Jesus just my heart is to help you be empowered in life. That's what I really try to equip on Saturday night or Friday Wednesday nights is try to equip us and try to be encouraged to hear a word and just move in that word with authority. That's my heart. So I began to think about Jesus and how did Jesus operate? How did He do it? He was betrayed and He didn't flinch. He was beaten. He was lied about. He was forsaken. He was, what else did I write? They slept on Him when He just asked Him to stay awake for just a moment. Come on. They feel like sometimes there ain't nobody there for you. Here's this one moment that Jesus said, just stay awake for a moment. And they fell asleep. And then He says, okay, well, I know you're tired. Just rest for a minute. I'll be back. He come back and they were still sleeping. So He continued. But how did He keep going? What was it that was with Him that I want you to know that He experienced things, same thing. But what was the key? Because we are to see His life and let that be an example to us. Because He did all of it in the flesh. He was still a natural man. He was all natural in a sense. You know what I mean? He walked just like you. The pain that you feel and the things, that rejection, all those things, it bounced off Him. I want to be like that. Come on, amen. I want to go through things in life that no matter what, if someone betrays you or turns their back on you, how does He keep going? That He didn't get knocked off His barriers and He kept moving straight ahead. He wasn't stopped. He was determined in where He was going. And the thing about it is we have to understand is because He knew who He was. He knew His foundation was sure. His foundation was based upon the Father, and it was this love that was equipping Him. He knew where He was. He knew where He was going. He knew what He was here for. And having that in His life didn't let Him get derailed. He was able to keep going. He was able to press on and persevere. So I want us to know that it's so important for us to know where we come from, who we are. Our foundations are sure. Because if your foundation is weak, everything you build upon is weak. Everything you build upon is weak. So,
listen. And he says,
this is what I... This is in 3:1. It says, "My son, forget not thy law, my teaching, but let thine heart keep my commandments, my words. Keep my words. For the length of your days, long life and peace shall they add to you." This is what his words add to. They add to our life. Long life, peace. Let not mercy, his love and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. They will find favor in you. See, when we begin to get an understanding of God's Word, of who He is, getting a grip on His promises. See, that, I believe that's hard for us to grab hold of for our foundations. Because you cannot, we know that Christ is our foundation, but to build upon that, you have to know the Word. See, God was, Adam and Eve were created. They had this place that they were in. They were in the Garden of Eden, this perfect setting. But even though they were in this perfect setting, they were deceived. Because it's a matter of us knowing the Word and hearing the Word and taking it, letting it be in our hearts, that we won't be deceived. The Bible says that sometimes people say, well, if you are just a Christian, if you just are saved, then everything's good. I want you to get this and hear this and know that that is true, but there's things that come in our lives that we have to be able to handle, that we have to build upon that foundation of what He's given us and who He is in our lives. Because the Bible says that many children are tossed to and fro. They are tossed back and forth. They don't have an understanding of this. And they were derailed, even though they are Christians and they have confessed Christ in their life. Come on, I see a lot of people that way that get derailed. Even though they're Christians, they call themselves Christians, they confess it. But it's more than just that. That's just the beginning. That's just a doorway to enter into. Amen? But you're building upon that truth, and we get an understanding of God's Word in our lives and what He says. Because if we don't know and understand this, who He is and His heart, how can we move in it? Amen? That we can be deceived. So he says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, wherever you are, amen? Wherever you are, even in the good, in the bad, draw near to God. In all His ways, in all your ways, in all your ways. See, this is the thing that we begin to bring God into all my ways, that I can go His way. See, but if I just have this part of my life with God and then this other part mine. See, God wants all of you. He wants every area, every part. Why? Because we are His house. That I'm just going to give God the living room. You can have the whole thing. Do whatever you want with it. Come on, this is sometimes what Christians do. They come to church and they give God a space of time, a moment. God doesn't want that. He wants every bit of you. Because why? He loves you so much. It'd be like my wife saying, listen, I love you a lot, but I'm only going to see you on Mondays. The rest of the week, I'm going to do my own thing. What? I want you every day. 24/7. But that's exactly what we do sometimes as Christians, is we invite God in, but we have to have Him in all of our ways, in every area. He wants the back porch, He wants the side, He wants the upstairs, He wants the downstairs, and even He wants the basement. Come on, the attic. Those things that you hide, those things. Why? Because it's making the house. You're representing Him. You're a reflection of who He is. So His light is going to invade every area of your life. That's who He is. He cannot deny who He is. That light has to get in every area of our lives to touch us. That's just who He is. That's what light does. You can't escape from it. Even if you're in another room, you can. Even if you shut all these lights off and you can see the lights back, or you can't see the light, but you see the reflection of it. You see that light. It's who it is. See, that's what God wants. But God wants you to experience Him every area, in all those different rooms and places of our lives. In those places where that we've kind of hid things or we've stored things. Things that we know that we're not going to use, or we really know that we're not going to use it, or we don't want it part of our lives, but we keep it. See, God wants to, He wants to knock those things out of the way. He wants to push those things out, and He wants to start from scratch. He wants to establish who He is in you. That whenever things come your way, see, this is why sometimes when someone does betray us, we fell off the hinges. Or whenever we are rejected. See, Jesus made room for the Father in everything. And so when all these came around, it didn't matter because His foundation was in the Father. It was in that relationship He had with the Father. It was built on strong. It was a strong foundation. Amen? It was strong. It was firm. It wasn't moved. Because I want you to know that we're going to see here that in those foundations that Jesus used as an example of building a foundation, both foundations experienced rain, thunderstorms, floods. Say both of them. It rains on the just and the unjust. We all experience things. And like I said before, sometimes we're not sure. Sometimes it's hard for us to take it, but life is unexpected. Come on. There's things that you don't expect, and they come your way. That's why your foundation needs to be sure, strong. It says, in all thy ways, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and you shall direct your path. And then He will direct your path. He will direct your path as you acknowledge Him. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Everything. Make available to God. The good and the bad. That we open up to God. Say, here I am. Amen? And we declare. So, let's go ahead and look. And having a foundation, having established in a life of every believer a solid, well-built foundation is very essential if we're going to stand, if we're able to remain in life's storms and trials. If our foundation is not properly laid, it will soon give way and the building will fall. Say amen. Since the foundation will bear the weight of the entire structure, it must be built solidly, correctly. It's essential from the beginning to establish it the right way upon Jesus Christ. I just want to read a couple of these things here. I think it's powerful that we can see this, of this foundation, of what this really means. Amen? So we build upon a proper foundation. Jesus taught about laying a foundation. Let's look up at Luke 6. Last week we read this. Amen. And then Jesus, and He says, and why you called Me Lord and do not the thing that I say? He says, you call Me Lord and do not do the thing that you say. Whosoever cometh to Me and heareth My sayings and doeth them, He says, I will show him he is like. He is like a man that built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the floods arose, the streams beat upon them, upon the house. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth not is like a man that built upon a foundation, without a foundation, his house upon the earth, against which streams did beat upon it, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Wow. The number one thing that we could see here is that we must come to the Lord and hear His sayings and do them. this is key, this is essential, is we come to the Lord, draw near to God in everything. See, I want you to know that we're always building. He's always building something in our lives. That we're constantly establishing something. That it's just not one time that your salvation is upon Christ Jesus, but yet we have to establish maybe our emotions. All of our emotions need to be established, because I want you to get this, because we build them upon something that was founded in our lives. Those emotions might have been built upon a moment in your life that you experienced something, and you build upon that. Maybe because you were rejected. Maybe because you were hurt. You were taken advantage of. So from then on, your emotions are built upon that experience, that moment in your life. Do you get that? So I want you to see that those continually, that we have to build everything upon that. And God's working in our lives, that He's establishing this foundation of who He is in our lives, in every part of our lives. He's adding to, and He's tearing down. He's building up, and He's pulling down. That's what He does. God disrupts things. Why? Because He loves you. It's not because He doesn't like you. For the longest time, I thought God just didn't like me. I just wasn't His type. Right? He just didn't like me. But I am. Because He wasn't going to let anything that was disruptive build upon a foundation, because when things came and winds would come and storms would come, that I would be swept away because I built upon that. On that emotion, upon that time, upon that moment in my life. So we have to let God deal with those things. We have to let Him, so we have to come to God, establish ourselves with Him, letting our ears hear, let Him be a hear. Every parable Jesus says, let Him have ear, let Him hear. Every parable He said that. Because you have a choice. He says that you hear. I want to hear. And that you do it. That's key. It is possible that you come to the Lord and hear His sayings and do nothing about it. And maybe God will forget about it. Maybe He'll just leave you alone. He might for a moment, but He's coming back. He wants to establish Himself. Amen? In your life, in all things. But the Bible says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. That's James 1:22. We need to hear and to do. The wise man built his house upon the rock. That's doing. You're establishing in it. To hear and do nothing, the Bible says a foolish man building upon the earth. Building upon something fleshly. Something that was established that maybe it was heredity. Listen, let me give you an example of this. I hear people say this sometimes. Yeah, but my grandfather was an alcoholic. It runs in my family. That's if you build your house upon the flesh. That's if you build your house upon the earth. Come on, amen. That's if you're building your house upon the earth. See, that you have an excuse, and yes, you're right. You remain under that curse. You remain under that place. But He says that you need to be a doer of the word. I give you opportunity to build upon a rock. And what does that mean? It's because we're no longer under the curse. Amen? Because why? I'm not of that old nature, of that bloodline. Jesus pulled me out of that place, and I'm of Christ. Amen? I'm a brand new man. No longer I liveth, but Christ lives in me. That is being established upon the rock. So I can't use that as an excuse because my ancestors did it this way. Or I hear people, and sometimes I hear deceptively people trying to manipulate people with that. But I want you to know that we know that you're established and your foundation is in Christ. You no longer have to be pulled or drawn by that no longer. Because you have a firm foundation in Christ. Amen? We must be built upon the rock. Say, the storms will come. Two things, listen to this. Both men were building a house. Both of them were building a house. Both men finished the house. Both houses were subject to wind, rains, and floods. It took a storm to reveal the condition of their foundation. It took a storm. Rains are testings and trials in our lives. Winds are temporal and temporal afflictions. The flood is false teachings and seducing spirits. These are floods. These are things that come our way. False truths that disrupt us. But if we're established upon the rock, see, everything, they all come. They all come our way. But I want you to know that He's with us. He's there to be our strength that we build upon Him. We say that, you know what, we stop to ourselves when we go through things in our lives. We have to recognize, say, Lord, I want to establish that upon You. That when we enter into marriage, that we take it seriously. Because what we're doing is we're establishing it upon Christ. When you come into a marriage, that you're building it upon Christ. That you're establishing upon Him. So out of that, amen, your response is as Christ. That's the way God intended it. And I want you to know, just to get it here, that even in church, even where we act, is that our response has to be from Christ. It has to be influenced by Him. The way we respond to one another, the way we act to one another. If not, it'll blow away. Can't be effective. Can't be powerful. So it has to be established in Him. Are my responses, the way that I do things, is it built upon something that's false or that's not strong enough to withhold? See, God, like I said, God lets us go through these things in lives so that whatever's not real will break away. That thing that can be shaken, that thing that can be rocked, that thing that can cause disruption in your life down the road, God will shake it. Whatever can be, He will. It's not because He doesn't love us. It's because He loves us. Amen? So that we could be established in Him. A foolish man has had no foundation. He has more interest in the gift of the Spirit, the deep things of God, that he did not take time to let God root himself down deep. Now that's powerful for us to see that sometimes people like the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing that comes from ministry, that you feel that the power, you feel these things, but God wants to root you deep. Amen. It's just not about the outward, the expression of the Spirit of God, but it's rooted what's deep down inside, because eventually what comes out, amen, is what's within you. So God just doesn't want it to be on the outside, because this is what I mean, though. This is what I mean by that, is that we could see sometimes where the people have amazing gifts. You say, well, that was false. Was it? Or was it that it wasn't rooted deep in Him? And there's signs of miracles and wonders and, wow, that's amazing. And then all of a sudden you see something that is disturbing. Come on. That's why we have to be rooted in Him. Deep. Because if those things are cut off, and see, the enemy wants to cut. That's what happens with a man that says that the fall comes. When pride comes, the fall comes. So when you feel this pride in yourself that I got this thing, that you cut yourself off from the reality of understanding that we need one another. And that's the first thing you see. Sometimes these evangelists, you see the big, you know, come on, you've seen a lot of them. You say, how can that be? Look at the anointing. Was that not real? Yeah. But the character is what God was building deep within them. And that takes time. Establishing it deep within you. That when the winds come, He fell over. Because they weren't established deep. I want you to know that's what God's doing within us. That's not just shallow, but it's deep within us. It means this. It means that whenever you're not around anybody else that knows who you really are, or a Christian, or serving God, that you act a different way than when you were. See, God wants you to root yourself deep, that you act the same, whether anybody's here or there, in all your ways you acknowledge God. Well, I got a bad side of me that I do in front of when no one's around. See, God wants you to acknowledge Him in all your ways. See, that man will fall. That foundation will fall. It won't last. And sometimes when that happens, we get mad at God because you fell or you... Well, we have to establish ourselves in Him. He wants you to, in the good times and the bad times, in the light and the dark, in the valleys, in the mountains, no matter where you're at, He wants you to acknowledge Him so that He could be your sure foundation. So that He could hold you up
When the storms come, when the floods are there, He's going to hold you in it. You embrace Him. And you'll come out of that greater than what you ever thought you could. Amen? Am I making sense? The foundation is the most important part of building. It is the foundation that determines the weight and the height. There must be a perfect balance between the foundation and its structure. Amen? There are no shortcuts. Sometimes we try to use old materials. Sometimes we try to use old things. Well, I've been there. I have a law that if anybody comes to me and says they want to use, I have some old block. Can you use them? Absolutely. Twice the amount. Twice the cost. I charge them double. You can use them, but it'll cost you in the end. Because it's twice as hard for me to use old junky material than it used to something new. But sometimes we try to get by. And I've watched people that do that, try to go cut corners and get around it. So it looks good on the outside. Man. But you turn the lights on and all the sparks fly everywhere. Really? You have to connect all the wires? Yeah. Come on. Y'all got horror stories. I know you do about things. And it says, "For we are laborers together with God." You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. This is in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 11. "According to the grace of God, given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ." Let me finish that scripture right here, because there's another part to that I want you to see. You okay? "For our foundation cannot be..." Yeah. "Now, if any man build upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble..." Boy, it goes down the line there. It starts off with gold, he said, but sometimes we try to use stubble. Come on. Your doorknob and your front door looks... it's all gold and it looks beautiful, but you come inside and... Listen, sometimes we go to down when I'm working. I used to work down in Cranberry and in some of these rich neighborhoods, that these houses were amazing. But I'm working beside this one house and I'm looking and I see people coming in and out. They're living there. But I look in the windows and there's no furniture. And I'm like, what's wrong with this situation? And I asked the contractor, he says, "Oh, yeah." He says, "These people can't afford these houses. They can't afford to put anything in them. But they look the part." Are you kidding me? I'd rather have a trailer and have a really comfy chair than sit on the floor and not have furniture. But seriously, that's what they do. It looks good. See, that's what sometimes, unfortunately, that's what sometimes we start off with God that way, where that we have this beautiful, it looks, everything looks beautiful on the outside, but God doesn't want, He wants to continue to build. He wants to build. Don't just use hay or stubble. Don't just use parts and pieces and duct tape. We know we think that's good, but no, you can't just use duct tape. Because when the wind and the rain, I don't care how much duct tape you got, it's going to pull apart. Amen? It says, "Because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, of what it is built of. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer loss, but to himself shall be saved, yet so by fire." Listen, your house, what you establish, is, if it's not of God, He'll burn it down. You'll be safe. But whatever it's built upon, He's going to rip it down. Anything that's established that you try to build upon that's not of Him, He's going to pull it down. It will fail you, is what I'm saying. Emotionally, whatever those things, it will continue to fail you. Y'all get that? Whether it's built on rejection, whether it's built on hatred, whatever those things, it will fail you. Unless it's Christ. Amen? And he says, and if any man's work shall be burned, shall suffer loss. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Tell someone, I'm the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. He dwells in you. And if any man defile the Bible, don't get any tattoos. Seriously, don't get tattoos. Don't do that. I'm teasing. Now, listen, sometimes people take that. They take that and, yeah, you're in trouble. Yeah, you're really in trouble. But sometimes people take that word. They take that word and they manipulate it sometimes. Like it's based upon what you look like on the outside. So if you're overweight, you're in trouble. And truthfully, I had that happen to me one time. I had a lady come to me, if I could tell everybody this, stop the tape. But this was a long time ago. And a lady come to me and she says, everything's on with you except for one thing. She says, you defiled God's temple by that tattoo. And the Holy Spirit rose up within me. I knew it was God because I let it out. It had to have been God. And I told her, I said, well, listen, this will never kill me. Never. It's never going to, unless it's the ink poisoning, but it's been years, so it's not going to kill me. I'm okay. But what will kill me is overeating. And she was a big woman. She looked me right in the eyes and she says, you're right, Pastor. See, I changed her mind on that whole thing right then and there. Sometimes, even in her overweightness, sometimes she's looking at something, so she ought to look at herself. Listen, I'm fat. So I'm not picking on people that are overweight. You okay? You all know where I'm coming from? Okay, good. Y'all in agreement? Raise your hand. Yes, okay. So here it is. But what it's doing is manipulating. Yeah, you should be work on our weight. Sure, we work on these things. But it's more than that. That we are the temple. That Holy Spirit is within me. He's within my life. He's within me. He's abiding. Where's he abiding? He don't want to be in the basement. He wants to be in the whole house. Where sometimes what we do in some churches is you realize that they treat Jesus or they treat the Holy Spirit like he's that weird uncle. That when family members come over, they put him in a basement. Because they're afraid of what he might say. We love God and everything about it, but the Holy Spirit has put him away a little bit because he might come out and he might get excited. He might say things he shouldn't or he shouldn't. Maybe you get excited, you clap, or you, woo, amen, and you get excited. The Holy Spirit stirs you. Sometimes churches are that way where they try to hide the Holy Spirit, where they just come, they do their thing. And I'm going to tell you something, God cannot be placed in a box. Amen. So he breaks out of that place. He says, but we are the temple. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world, this is talking about pride, foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are in vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Paulus, he says, death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. So he said, establish it in that. Amen? Establishing it in that, in who he is. What we build must pass inspection. Be built according to the proper building code. Amen? Every man's work will be known. Every man. Every man is building something. We're building something with our lives. Come on. No matter what you think, you're building something. That is the housing. It's holding something. Amen? You're building something. Everybody. Every one of us. We're building something in our lives. What is it representing? Every man's work and building will be judged. Jesus alone is our foundation. All building must be done according to the Word of God. Amen? It must be built upon the Word of God. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus your Lord, walk ye in Him, having been firmly rooted
and being built up, say built up, in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflow with gratitude. See to it that no man takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according unto Christ. Colossians 2, 6 through 8. It is not enough to be just received Jesus in our lives. We must be firmly rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith. Amen? Established in the faith. The Word of God says that we must remind that we are the foundation stones of God's truth, are only the start of our building and our growing process in the Lord. Let's look at that scripture. It's in Ephesians, I believe. Let me see if my notes. Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. Austin, you can go ahead and kill that. No. This is the one I said before. So for us to, before I'm going to end with this, is we're understanding that we're establishing our lives in Christ. That you know that He's your foundation and He's taking you somewhere. He's building something in your life. Amen? See, the enemy wants you to think sometimes people that they're building something when they have their lives without Christ and they have all these different things and they establish it with money, with wealth and all these things and they think they have something. But I want you to know that when it ends, they realize it didn't mean anything. I was reading different things of wealthy men that were on their deathbed and they realized that everything that they accomplished meant nothing. That it wasn't, what was it about? There was something more than that. Our lives are meaningful, that God wants to be housed in our lives. That when others come around, that because we house Him, that they touch God. They see God. They experience God. That you're that expression when they come around you. That just like Jesus was, that they were, Jesus housed God. He housed the Father. And everything that He went through, that it couldn't be shaken. Even unto death. He was obedient. Didn't have no power over Him. He gave His life. He said, "Here I am." He couldn't be destroyed. Why? Because He was established in the Father. That foundation was strong. And it was an example. See, God wants you to be those houses. Those representatives. Man. That when you realize that when God moved in here, the value of my house skyrocketed. The value went way up there. And God's working on us. God's establishing something because He loves you. And you stop to think to yourself, what is God establishing within my life? What is He doing? How is He working? What is He doing? He's pulling some things that were in your past, those things that He goes back to those areas. And if we let Him, He heals us and He builds us back up again. He establishes us not with straw or duct tape, but with gold, precious stones. Strong foundations. But no matter what we go through, because why? Because we are His representatives in the earth. The way they see us, they see Him. They do. So this house has to be built upon Him so that when they come in, they say, He's good. He's awesome. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of your life because of what's being built in you. I love it. Powerful. But what we have to do, like I said from the beginning, is we have to bring in, we have to understand who God is and understand His words, understand His promises and realize what He has for us and realize what He says and how He thinks. Amen? It doesn't come overnight. But we begin to let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us and lead us. Whisper in our ears that we hear and have a hearing and do it and respond to it. When He does share something in your heart, that you, when you hear it, you do it. You respond to it. And then your face activated. Something comes alive within you. Amen? That we no longer go with what we used to be built with, whether those emotions from the past, those things that hurt us or destruct us, we build it upon new, on fruits of the Spirit. That's what establishes me. So we begin to learn the Word. It says that you may be no more children tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine by sleight of every man, cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love that you may grow up, say grow up, into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Grow up in all things. God's establishing something. So So what we do is we begin to learn and begin to understand the Word. We begin to hear the Word. Let it be part of our lives. You draw near to God to hear Him. And to hear it and to understand that this Word's alive, it's active. God wants to talk to you. Here's a kid that, man, when I first came in, that I knew a little bit, I knew Bible stories. I knew Bible stories, but I didn't take a hold of the living Word. That Word that'll transform you, that'll grip you, that'll pull you, that'll drag you if you need drug. That when you hear it, it disrupts you. It causes you to become uncomfortable. Ah, it's right, but I don't know. I don't know. But something stirs within you and you begin to walk it out. And that Word becomes alive. It quickens you, motivates you, and you're a doer of it. But it doesn't happen overnight. You just take it. And like I said, I remember I was in church. I remember coming and just not ever understanding everything. I really didn't. Because it's kind of hard. Couldn't take it in. I wasn't really good with my gazindas or... That's math. Gazindas. One goes into... Your gazindas. Yeah. So I struggle with that. I just struggle with that writing, different things, whatever that was. But it doesn't matter because I wasn't building upon that old foundation. I was building on a new foundation. I was building upon the Spirit that knows all things. I might not, but He knows all things and He's in me. And I began to acknowledge that. I began to be aware of that. I began to believe it. And then God began to make things known to me. He'd whisper in my ear. I'd hear things. I'd read His Word, and without a college education, would begin to... something was quickened within me. I didn't have to have a Bible scholar tell me. But it whispered as the Holy Spirit, encouraging me, strengthening me. This is who You are. Began to realize that I am the temple. It's not a place. It's me. I house God. And that Word quickened me. It wasn't about a law that I had to grab hold of to try to get it, to grab it. No, but it was love that gripped me. It was the grace of God that equipped me. And as I heard that Word, that I wanted to do it because that Word was alive in me. It wasn't law. It wasn't you have to do it. No, it was the grace of God that when I heard that Word, I wanted to do it. I wanted to fulfill it. I wanted to walk in it. Why? Because I wanted to experience it. I wanted to step on the edge. I wanted to go a little bit further with this. See what else would happen. What more I can learn. How much more I can understand who He is. It's not just stories. But it's living. Before this was wrote, the Word of God was. Before you were, before anything was created, the Word of God was. It was. And always has been. From the beginning. And God desires you to seek His Word and to take hold of it. In the simplest ways, just taking that Scripture and just challenge God and just to hear that Word and rehearse it in your heart. Just rehearse it in your heart during the day. And watch how God brings things into your life. Do you see how real it is? How powerful it is? And how it can quicken you. And how much you need it because you'll see things come against you. And that you have that Word because you took hold of it and you grabbed hold of it. And then when that came against you, you were ready. You weren't naked. But you put on the armor of God. You were able to get through it. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Pray to God, Lord, that we just take it and be doers of the Word. Not just hearers. That we become doers, God. Lord, that open our ears and that we can respond and give us strength to God, Lord, to be activated, to walk it out in the fullness of You and who You are. That we walk in Your likeness and Your image. Lord, we give You the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Let everybody know, don't forget, Friday, 6:30, upstairs in the cafe. Can you say cafe? Cafe.